Hi, this is Zoe, and this is episode 55 of the Zoe Routh Leadership Podcast. And we're talking about one-way ticket to Mars. Do you have what it takes to be a boundless leader? Would you get on that ship? In fact, it doesn't even matter if you will or you won't. The question is, do you have what it takes?
Welcome to the Zoe Routh Leadership Podcast, your source of strategies and insights to make you a better leader. Influence, improve, inspire.
So episode 55, which means we have just tipped over just a year of podcasting. Woohoo! I've been podcasting every week for over a year now, and it's a great delight to be able to bring ideas and new insights and new people to you. So this is worthy of celebration. I think it's time to break out the sangria and the piñatas and have a little powwow and fun time. Though, seriously, I'm not going to drink sangria. I haven't been drinking at all for the last 6 months, really. I'm trying to fix up my health. And I think it's actually worth thinking about celebration. And it's a constant conversation I have with some of my clients about how do you actually celebrate success? Like, a lot of stuff goes on. Do you actually pause and savor what it is that you've accomplished? And so I am taking my own advice, and the next few days at Thought Leaders Business School, I will be savoring the achievements that we've had, the milestones that we've passed, and this is one of them. And I thank you for listening. It makes it all meaningful and worthwhile knowing that I'm making a contribution to your growth as a leader. So thank you. Thanks for being here. So it's been a couple of weeks since it was me and just moi on the podcast, and I had a couple of interesting things happen. Always like to give you a Chook update, and this week, unfortunately, it's sad news. My littlest Chook, Xena, little black one, passed away today, actually. So I had to, dig a big hole in the backyard and say my farewells to the little chicken. So when you're that little, you go through life pretty quickly, and it was her time. And I'm just grateful that her passing was peaceful. So she wasn't well, and yet the end was a quiet one, and she was safe, and she was comfortable. So that is the cycle of life. Talking about the cycle of life, also saying goodbye today were my parents. So they've been visiting me for the last 2.5 weeks from Canada, and it's been a really pleasant visit. I think about this this session or this workshop, it was a speech actually with Stephen Bidoff, who wrote Raising Boys. And one of the things he said in there, which really struck a chord with me, he said, we've been lied to, you know, this whole idea of quality time with kids. It's actually not about quality time that makes a difference to kids. It's actually just time. It's the smaller moments. It's the actually sitting side by side watching TV. It's the presence of others in your family that creates the special moments. And the special moments are not peak experiences. They're the moments when you share a meal and you have an insight, a conversation, or just the sense of being close to them. And this is what I have with my parents over the last 2.5 weeks, is that sense of just being with them. And I kept wanting to entertain them. You're like, are you sure you're not bored? Let's go out and see this. Let's go to the gallery, or let's go to the museum. And they're like, actually, we just want to hang out. We just want to hang out with you, and we just want to spend time with you. I needn't have worried about entertaining them. They had a beautiful time, and they potted around my garden, played with the chickens, and just spent time with each other. And I think that's a beautiful insight for all of us, actually, is that we don't need to heap up a lot of peak experiences. We can also have joy and pleasure and great meaning in those smaller moments of just being with each other. So that's my wish for you over the coming silly season of that is often Christmas time, is to really sit in your moments and just be present to one another and enjoy that, because that's what I got with my folks being around. Well, updates, I've got a few also. So I think I mentioned the Tasmania retreat last time I recorded for you. It was amazing. What a beautiful, extraordinary part of the world. Freycinet Peninsula is remarkable. It's wild country. It's granite boulders. It's white sandy beaches and crystal blue water. It was whales leaping and eagles soaring. Like, it sounds like a cliche, but it was magnificent. And I'm absolutely excited to go back there in February with next year's Leaders Edge Mastermind Group, a small core of people. We've got six and there's two more spots available. And this is going to be a fantastic odyssey for all of us embarking on our leadership development journey together in such a spectacular place. So that's pretty exciting. What else? Oh, if you miss out on the Tasmanian Leaders Edge Mastermind in February, my next one after that starts in July. And guess where we're going? The Larapinta Trail out of Alice Springs. And that is also extraordinary place, right in the middle of Australia, completely different to Tasmania. Stark desert, red colors, massive open skies. And that's going to be starting, that's the starting point for that particular mastermind. So you might want to hop onto my website and check that out. Just go to zoerouth.com, click on mastermind, and some of the details are there. We have the Unconference. Yeah, our second Unconference coming up in Canberra, March 23rd. And tickets are selling pretty well, actually. I'm pretty delighted. Like, we're several months out and people are signing up. The theme this year is about employee engagement. And we're talking about going from mutiny to loyalty. How do you as a leader craft a culture, craft employee experiences in particular that leads to engagement and commitment? This is a pretty crucial conversation for all leaders and all businesses. And it's something that sort of gets dismissed, I think, a little bit in terms of, you know, as an employer, you provide jobs, you expect people to turn up and be committed. It's more than that. There's more than just this contractual arrangement. Coming together as a community in a business is a sacred thing. And I think when we do it well, we can create businesses that have long-lasting, meaningful impact on each other, on the people that we provide services and products to, and the planet as a whole. And I think if we take that kind of sacred commitment to our role as leaders and create those experiences for the people in our care, good things happen. So if that sounds like you and you want to be part of a community of people who care about other people, please come along to our beautiful Unconference in March in Canberra. Just hop on the website, you'll click on events and you'll find the Unconference there. Or I think you can click on edgeofleadership.com.au and you'll also find us there. So what am I reading? I'm about to start reading Dr. Amy Scott's Conversations Create Growth. Amy is going to be one of our speakers and facilitators at the Edge of Leadership Unconference. And I love this as a concept. And I fundamentally believe in the power of connection as a key essential ingredient or essential skill for leaders that you need to master. It's kind of the fundamentals. I believe that connection is currency. And one of the biggest stumbling blocks I hear time and time and time again in the leaders I work with is, how do I deal with problematic staff? How do I have conversations that are difficult, whether it's with staff or spouse or board members or peers or colleagues? And it's the number one thing that people struggle with. And I'm looking forward to Amy's insights on that and how we can do conversations better, particularly redoing the performance conversation. You know, how stilted are those most of the time? And I love that Steelcase was one of the organizations we spoke about last week in my interview with Ilea. She is a supplier to Steelcase, which is a international company. And Steelcase has actually in its own business scrap performance reviews, as many other organizations are doing. So I think this is a trend worth exploring. And Dr. Amy will give us some insights into that. So the question I'm pondering for today is, what gets in our way? And I think if I asked you that, you would say, I get in my own way. It seems to be a universal thing that we know that we are the ones who hold ourselves back. And when we're thinking about this notion of boundless leadership, which has in inference this whole idea of no limitations, nothing holding you back, that we need to clean up the things that do hold us back. The other thing I wanted to explore more specifically in this podcast is this notion of boundless leadership, and that the connotation is that it's constant expansion and just outward moving in a unidirection. And I think that's actually a false understanding of what it means to be boundless. To be truly boundless, where you do explore those boundaries, it's not one directional. It's actually an oscillation. So to be a boundless leader, you need to oscillate between the edges of what's possible and what's new and what's exciting for you, and return to core and center and process and reflect and strengthen your core. So it's that swing between the core and the edge that is boundless leadership. It's not just a one-way ticket. And thinking about one-way tickets, I love this conversation out there right now with the colonization or the possible colonization of Mars and the calling for volunteers to be the first astronauts to go to Mars on a one-way ticket. Because it'll, by the time they work out the technology, I think people will, they know how to get people there, I think. They're working on that. But to get people back, they haven't quite worked that out. So you need some volunteers to go and sort of be the first ones to lay down the law and set up a community and society and make it all work if you can. And I think it's quite an extraordinary notion. We've had that in the past as a society and as human beings, you know, people who left the shores bound for new lands, not knowing what they would find. And they too left behind families and communities and what was known to explore the unknown, but they didn't leave the planet. It probably felt like leaving the planet, but they did not leave their planet. So it is quite a remarkable challenge that we've set ourselves as a species. And I love this question. What does it take to be that kind of boundless leader, somebody who leaves everything behind, family, friends, country, and planet? Because that is truly going boundless, isn't it? We haven't yet explored any other nature of reality apart from the physical one. So that's probably the next stage, is how do we leave our bodies behind? And there's lots of great sci-fi movies around that, you know, how we evolve out of our physical state into a purely consciousness state. However, going to Mars is definitely physical. So what does it take? And I've got some ideas around that. And I think this whole idea of oscillation between going to the unknown and being coming back to core is going to be essential for those who actually end up being the first Martians. What I mean by that is that you need to be able to embrace that spirit of adventure to go completely into the unknown, not even knowing if your rocket's going to make it to the planet, and knowing for sure that you're not coming back. That's it. Say goodbye to fresh air and green trees and beaches and all the beautiful things of this planet to a rather dry-looking, red, dusty, lighter gravity kind of place. So in order to do that, you need the mindset of let's go, let's explore. And you also need an extremely strong core. And what I mean by core is a sense of who you are at your essence. What are your values? What are your principles? What is the essence of who you are as a human being that you're going to take with you to a new planet, the best of humanity? And being able to process all of what you've experienced in your life to date and make sense of it and make use of it is going to be pretty essential to you. So when you get to Mars, you're going to be overwhelmed by the newness and novelty of everything. And being able to come back to core and strength and resilience is going to be pretty critical. So that's the overarching concept. Breaking it down a little further, let's go through what I think you also need to have in order to be a boundless leader, whether you go to Mars or not, whether you go to some new other adventure like trying a new job or moving to a new city or even to a new country. The first thing I believe that you need to be a boundless leader is capacity, largely physical capacity. And that comes down to three things: your energy. How are you maintaining and managing your energy? Is it boundless in its own nature? Or are you kind of just dragging your ass through the day? So that is one aspect. The space that you have around you, how is your physical space facilitating your sense of boundlessness? Or do you feel trapped and oppressed by where you're spending most of your time? And that sense of resilience is also going to be pretty important. So how do you process and deal with adversity? How do you make sense of the crappy things that happen to you? What is your storytelling capacity, basically, is what that one's about. I believe that's what resilience really is. It's being able to stand in the chaos of difficult experience and make sense of them in a useful way. So number one is, how is your capacity on a physical basis for setting you up as a boundless leader? The second one is people. It's the people around you. And I've been really immersed in Janine Garner's work around that. It's Who You Know. That's this week's interview, or last week's interview. And it's a pretty profound principle, really, is that in order to expand and be able to offer more to the world as a boundless leader, you actually can't do it alone. You need a network of people around you who've got your back. And her whole book, as we've reviewed before, is about developing the 12 key people in your world who can do that for you. They either push you or teach you or support you or promote you. And developing a strong network like that so you don't feel isolated and alone is pretty critical. So the second piece around boundless leadership is having that core of resources and resourcefulness of other humans around you to help you take on the mantle of boundless leadership, because it's not for the faint-hearted. Let's be truthful here. Leadership is pretty tough work. Like, it can be soul-searching and it can be challenging and devastating. I was speaking to a leader yesterday who got some feedback, which she found pretty confronting. You know, she learned a little bit about herself and how she's perceived by others as being a bit inappropriate and bulldozy. And the first time you hear that sort of thing, it's like getting a blow to the head. You have no idea how you're coming across. And so when you take on the mantle of leadership, you become more visible and people are more critical of you as well. So it's scary stuff. So having people around you who can hold your hand through that stuff or can put up a mirror and say, hang on a minute, you need to reframe your reaction to that is essential in order to process the difficulties and challenges that come with leadership. So number two is people. What's your network going on? Number three, in terms of what you need for boundless leadership, are values. The core values that you need in order to have the sense of boundless leadership are learning. And boundless leaders are those who are hungry for growth and hungry for learning and want new insight and are curious about themselves and the world and what's possible. So that sort of itchiness of learning is pretty crucial. This, alongside of that, is the value of adventure, of exploration, of discovery. That real pioneering, adventurous spirit is crucial for us in order to have the courage to leave the shore. Otherwise, we'd stand on the edge of it and go, no, I'm just going back to my hut on the beach and staying there, as opposed to jumping in a boat and going, I'm leaving the hut behind, let's see what's around the corner. So that sense of adventure and exploration is really crucial. And it's being comfortable with the uncomfortable. It's being familiar with the unfamiliar that's essential in that whole sense of adventure. And the other two pieces are, in terms of values, are around compassion and wisdom. And this is from the training that I did with Cindy Wigglesworth, still my favorite last name ever. And she wrote the book SQ21, The 21 Skills of Spiritual Intelligence. And central to that is the idea of cultivating the best of the heart, i.e. compassion, and best of the head, i.e. wisdom. You blend those two together, and then you can balance best feeling place and best thinking place to make better decisions and better leadership. So that's what you need for values: learning, spirit of adventure, compassion, and wisdom. So we're on to the fourth area of what we need for boundless leadership. And it won't surprise you, a lot of this is mindset. There's three areas I'm kind of exploring with this whole idea of boundless leadership mindset. And I'm going to do some more work on this, but I wanted to share some of the few key principles that I'm working with at the moment. And I'd be curious to hear your mindset beliefs around these areas and how they're working for you. So there's three areas of mindset. Sort of topics, I guess, around mindset. One is about your self-authoring mindset beliefs. The second set is around what you believe about the world. And the third set is what you believe about your purpose. So let's have a look at those. The self-authoring mindset is examples of that. So these are statements of belief that I hold dear that help me be a boundless leader. The first one is, I am captain of my ship. And well, that kind of goes along with the whole sense of adventuring outwards and exploring new territory, doesn't it? But I'm captain of my ship, of my own ship, means that is, I'm in charge of my life. I make decisions about my life. I am completely accountable. And I think we absolutely need that as boundless leaders. We can't be blaming others and thinking that we are victims of our own life. We need to be at the helm. So that is a core belief for me when we're talking about boundless leadership and exploring possibilities. And the second one along with that is I write my own story. Because within that encapsulate the notion that who we are and how we show up is actually a narrative that we craft. It doesn't get dictated to us. It doesn't get given to us. Things happen to us. Some of them we choose and some of them we don't choose. Yet we can choose our own response. We can choose our narrative to that. We can choose our story to that. And how we tell that story creates us either in a powerful way or in a powerless way. So knowing that we write our own story is pretty critical for us feeling on the front foot and being able to deal with whatever comes our way. And that is central to the concept of being centered. You know, that you can stand in the storm, any storm, and be able to be calm, centered, and stoic, responsive instead of reactive. So the next category of beliefs is around what do you believe about the world? And this sort of reaches like to big picture components of who you are and how you operate. And some of the beliefs I have around the world are life is connection. So I'm looking out at my garden right now and I'm looking at just bursting with life as it's spring. You know, I have my rhubarb shooting up. I've got strawberries zipping everywhere. I've got weeds going everywhere. I've got bugs and flies and spiders and, well, three chickens now scrambling around out there. And it's all connection. I look at the leaves falling off trees and how they're getting mulched into soil. And burying a chicken today, returning her to the earth and how that's going to feed the earth and the worms. And it's all cyclical. So for me, life is connection. And within that, my second belief is we are all connected. So everything we say and do and feel is a ripple effect. And we are constantly exchanging energy and making an impact on each other. And so if we are going to have a positive impact, how we show up matters magnificently. It's critical that we do due care to look after ourselves and the thoughts and the messages that we're putting out there, because we are all connected. We want to broadcast messages that uplift as opposed to tear down. And okay, so self-authoring beliefs, world beliefs, and the third one is around purpose. So once you know what you believe about yourself and what you believe about the world, it comes down to how do I then operate in the world? For me, my purpose is to nudge human evolution through my own evolution. So that's a core belief for me about my purpose, is that as I evolve as a leader, I am helping others evolve too. And I remember doing a speech last year to a group of university students, and she put up her hand, she said, well, if I'm going to make a contribution, I'm only in university, how can I be of service? And I said, well, do you know people in high school? And she said, yeah, I'm only 2 years out of high school. I still have friends there. I'm like, well, you've got 2 years of university. That's a huge wealth of information to the kids who are still in high school. So you can help those who are just two steps behind. So she was worried that she didn't have enough life experience in order to make a significant contribution as a leader. And that's the thing. We evolve and we help those. We share what we learn with those around us. And we may only be half a step ahead of someone. And that half a step can make all the difference in somebody else's life. So don't ever hold yourself back thinking, I haven't made it enough yet. I haven't learned enough yet. I don't know enough yet in order to be a leader. We are always leading each other. And so if we take our own personal evolution seriously, we know that that's going to help others evolve too, as long as we turn around and share and give each other a hand up along the way. All right, so that's the mindset beliefs. So there's three of them: self-authoring, world, and purpose. And our last area in terms of what we need in order to be boundless leaders, bound for Mars or not, are habits. And I really think there's three particular habits that we need to build into our practice of being boundless leaders. The first one is reflection. having a reflective practice as a leader is pretty critical. Otherwise, we just go from day to day, from one thing to the next, and we don't take the lessons and the insights and the gratitude and appreciation that can come from just pressing pause and going, what happened today? What was great about this? What can I learn from this? What can I do better? And that's a regular practice of reflection. I use a success journal, which I write in ideally every day. It doesn't actually happen every day, mostly every day. And I record my process successes. So things that as I nudge my business along or nudge myself along, I put those into my success journal. Things like I wrote a newsletter today, or I published a podcast today, or I made some phone calls today. So in themselves, they're not hitting the big targets, and yet they're contributions to my purpose and to my sense of connection with my community. And then I also record the big wins, you know, which might be launched this program or just completed the Tasmania trip, or we're nearly sold out for the Leader's Edge Mastermind in February. Those kinds of things go in there too. And by being able to do reflection, it gives me an opportunity to see and track my growth and therefore be able to then think about the expansion that I want next, which moves into the habit number two, which is about being a deliberate creationist. What I mean by that is that a lot of people just bumble along. They go with wherever the river takes them, and they enjoy quite a happy life and sometimes not such a happy life. And yet, when we decide which way we want to paddle our boat through the river, we get to feel more in command. We get to actually surf the waves a lot more readily, and we can avoid pitfalls. So I was talking to a client today, and she says her experience at the moment is that she lives a pretty happy life in a bubble, and she knows that she's missing out on experiences because they just do the same old, same old. Every holiday's to the beach. They've been living in the same house for 10 years and they're not doing anything new. And she's got this itch, this surge for growth. And at our core, we are all wired for growth. However, you know, if you don't do anything about it, you'll just keep doing the same old default. So being deliberately creative with your life and intentional about what you're creating is a habit. So I have a cadence of creation that help me do that, to help me evolve. So I have a daily reflection habit. I have a quarterly reflection habit. And I have a weekly reflection habit where I look back at the week and go, good, bad, ugly, achievement, yeah, loss, all that kind of stuff. Quarterly, I do a bigger picture analysis of what's happened over that quarter and plan for the next quarter. So the next quarter is like setting goals and targets and projects and experiments. And I do a yearly cadence. I actually do two yearly reflections, one on my birthday because it falls July 1st. So it's a natural halfway point in the calendar year. And at the end of the year, beginning of the year, you know, what is the next year, 2018, going to be for me? What is my theme word? What are the experiences and holidays I want to explore and create? And what do I want to contribute through my business? So that leads to the third habit, which is new experiences. And boundless leaders are always seeking new experiences because new experiences inform us of ourselves, the world, and our purpose. And when we seek out those new experiences, it can be destabilizing because we don't know what's going to happen. For example, I've got a new client in Armidale, and I've never been to Armidale, and I haven't worked with these clients before. I'm hoping they're going to like me. I'm hoping that my work will be of service to them. And I can spend a lot of time catastrophizing about them being extremely critical and negative about my work. I don't know. All that stuff will happen. That's my little gremlin voice just trying to keep me safe. And yet, jumping into that experience, even with all those fears, is what is important about being a boundless leader. Because if I don't do it, those people do not get the possibility of insight that I can offer. And I don't get the possibility of meeting those people and learning from them. And I don't get to see Armidale. I don't get to see how a rural community works. And so seeking out of new experiences puts us in a state of disequilibrium, which actually is the fundamentals for growth. So if you think of it as a gym workout, when we are in a state of disequilibrium, we're off balance, that's how we get stronger. All right, so quick review of what it takes to be a boundless leader. overarching principle is this idea of oscillation to the edge of what's possible and coming back to core, to reviewing, to consolidating, to investing in the core essence of who we are. The five elements that we need are capacity, and that's largely around your physical capacity, your energy, your space, and your resilience, your mindset, that part. So capacity is number one. Number two is your network. Who's supporting you and how are they supporting you? Number three are your values, learning, adventure, compassion, and wisdom. Number four is your mindset, and particularly beliefs around self-authoring, who are you and what you believe about yourself, beliefs around the world, and beliefs around purpose. And lastly are your habits. Three habits: reflection, deliberate creation, and seeking new experiences. I'd love to hear your thoughts. Particularly, I'm curious about what your beliefs are around self-authoring, the world, and purpose are. And I'd love to hear from you. If you want to shoot me an email, zoe@innercompass.com.au, that would be fabulous. And in the meantime, I would also love to meet you. So have a look at my website at the events page or the mastermind and consider being a boundless leader and coming onto a program and taking a few risks. I'd love to meet you and spend more time with you and support you on your journey. In the meantime, live well, lead well, and have an extraordinary week.